New Galaxy Enterprises proudly presents Threshold Radio.
This is Johnny Bluestar. Welcome to Threshold, a global media event. Is the universe just a random dance of atoms? Or is it a manifestation of a supremely intelligent architect? Can its purpose, or our purpose here on Earth, be adequately assessed? Can we commune with it, know its intentions, cooperate with its direction? Here, we define Threshold as a gateway state of awareness, allowing mankind to cross into a place of real cognition. Threshold allows us to approach questions of higher reality through the door of experience rather than mere belief. Welcome to Threshold, where we tear away the veil from commercial media, bringing our audience and participants into another realm of reality and enhanced communication.
Welcome to Threshold. This is Johnny Bluestar, and today I'm joined by Ken Ead, novelist, attorney, human rights and environmental activist, and Sarah Westall, host of the ever-intriguing radio odyssey, Business Game Changers, an enthusiastic explorer of business and technological disruption and paradigms of social change. Good morning, Ken and Sarah.
Good morning.
Well, today we're going to have a roundtable discussion about the recent and ongoing presidential primary campaigns. In this discussion, we'll discuss the conduct and issues presented by the candidates and analyze, in a sense, the various paradigms of government floating around. But while we're doing this, instead of just accepting one or another of these paradigms, we'll attempt to see if there are any other potentially valuable paradigms hidden in our back pockets. And also, what's hidden behind the paradigms presented by the candidates, which we think, or the audience would, in general, think that they're seeing clearly. It's obvious that this presidential campaign has been marked by some astounding changes, perhaps the most important being the energizing of voting in the primary elections and the introduction of new voters into the electioneering process. Significantly, the vast numbers of millennials in the Sanders campaign, along with what might be called the disaffected, largely Caucasian, and markedly angry following of Trump. Both men seem to be pulling in lots of independent voters, people who have seldom or never voted before, independents and people who have crossed over from other parties to theirs. Bernie Sanders has demonstrated the ability to raise record-breaking amounts of money with very small change, challenging the PAC and wealthy individual donors that function heavily in Clinton's campaign. It would be disingenuous to admit the role of Donald Trump in coloring the nature of these campaigns, as he's inserted himself and has in his own controversial style of electioneering into almost every major issue. Sanders and Donald Trump are not quite friends, but I would like to start with this little comment by Donald Trump.
Imagine Bernie saying that Trump should get his people under control, and they put in these people. And by the way, our crowds are so much bigger than Bernie's, you wouldn't believe it. Not even. Troublemakers. They're Bernie fans. Remember when they took over the microphones from Bernie? Remember? They took over the microphones. Two young women took over the microphones, and he walked back like this. These are Bernie's people. Hillary cannot seem to win, even against a communist. I mean, how is it that in this great society of, you know, in our great, great world, that a communist cannot be beaten by Hillary Clinton? It's terrible.
Putting aside this rich harvest of disparaging comments made in just 1 minute, let's just focus on the contention that Bernie is a communist. What do you make of this?
Well, you know, I think that it's a theme that they want to get out there. All this stuff, again, is marketing messages, right? Hillary Clinton is calling him, she's saying he's not even a Democrat. And then Trump saying just flat, Trump just goes there. He's saying what everybody's saying behind the scenes. Because you know that the Hillary campaign is calling him a communist as well, extreme socialist. But they're doing it in the political grassroots and everywhere else. They're not coming out on television and saying it. She's just saying he's not a Democrat. And Trump comes out and calls him a communist because it sounds really bad.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds worse than a socialist.
They're collecting sound bites and just slapping them off. And Trump sounds to me like one of those, you know, extreme talk show hosts like Rush Limbaugh or something.
Or maybe Joe McCarthy.
Or even worse. I mean, it doesn't sound like somebody who expects to be elected president.
Well, let's note for the moment how Trump tends to label people and empower his following by repetition and even chanting of his labels. These are his sound bites. In fact, he's called Marco Rubio Little Marco, Ted Cruz Lion Ted, and now Hillary Clinton, in a special announcement, he gave her the name of Crooked Hillary. But since we're examining political paradigms today, let's return to Trump's focus on Sanders.
I watched Hillary last night with, we're going to give this, we're going to give that, we're going to give that. She's the poor woman. She's got to give everything away because this maniac that was standing on her right is giving everything away. So she's following. That's what's happening. This socialist / communist, okay? Nobody wants to say it. And nobody's heard the term communist. But you know what? I call him a socialist / communist, okay? Because that's what he is.
Well, this is very clear. We have two paradigms kind of blended in together, socialist and communist. These are very interesting labels used in various ways. For instance, Hitler's party was the Nationalist Socialist German Workers' Party, or Nationalsozialist Deutsche Arbeiterpartei. Yes, Hitler called his party socialist, and one of his greatest enemies was none other than the Soviet Union, or USSR, which stood for the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Hitler hated the communists almost as much as he did the Jews, but his party called itself socialist. And what about the kind of democratic socialism that Bernie stands for? Isn't this a completely different kind of socialism? This is the first time that the word socialism has been accepted in a national political campaign in a long time. Please help me disentangle these words, not just by their use, but also by the meaning that might stand behind them. What do you think?
Well, they're labels, Johnny. I mean, the meaning is whoever is using the label. It's different when Trump uses it. It's different when Sanders uses it. And it's not, it's not traditional. First of all, it's not communism. Okay, I think we can all agree on that, can't we?
Yeah, well, definitely. The trouble is that communism never was communism.
Yeah, but I mean, communism is a political ideology that doesn't have anything to do with what Sanders is promoting.
Right.
And there's something about these socialist principles that he's talking about, that the Democratic Party has always talked about these principles, but never called them with the label of socialism. They said, you know, we want to do a national health program. But when they advocated socialist medicine, which happens all the time, I mean, you hear it in every election year. You never hear it called socialized medicine. And now Bernie's drawing parallels to European countries that have national socialized medicine, which was pretty expensive. It entails a lot of taxing. But I think it depends on who's throwing out the label.
The philosopher Ludwig Wittgenstein said that the meaning is the use. And so,
yeah,
like you're saying, let's hear what Bernie himself says about it.
You call yourself a democratic socialist. How can any kind of socialist win a general election in the United States?
Well, we're going to win because first we're going to explain what democratic socialism is. And what democratic socialism is about is saying that it is immoral and wrong that the top 0.1% in this country own almost 90%, almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%. That it is wrong today in a rigged economy that 57% of all new income is going to the top 1%. That when you look around the world, you see every other major country providing health care to all people as a right, except the United States. You see every other major country saying to moms that when you have a baby, we're not going to separate you from your newborn baby because we are going to have, medical and family paid leave like every other country on earth. Those are some of the principles that I believe in. And I think we should look to countries like Denmark, like Sweden and Norway, and learn from what they have accomplished for their working people.
Well, you know, that isn't actually a definition either. You know, certainly it's a commentary on some of the benefits of the form of government that he wants.
Well, I think we already have elements of socialism in our government. The problem is that socialism and communism drums up really negative thoughts because we think of communists as our enemy, the Soviet Union or Russia. And then we think of Stalin and all these bad things that, you know, where they murdered all these people. And we think of a dictatorship and all these things. And then when we think of socialism, of course they bring up Hitler. And, you know, socialism doesn't mean you're going to go and mass murder people and try to take over the world. And that's why they use those terms, right? So if you can disassociate yourself with what those meanings are and get rid of those labels and then think about what he's trying to say, that's a different world, right? I mean, but the thing that scares people is that's what's in their brain. I mean, they're afraid that we're going to slide towards something like that. And, you know, the problem with socialism is that somebody has to be making the decisions for everybody else. And that's where the problem comes in. And how do you have a democracy and socialism? Somebody still makes those decisions. And then once they get the power, they want to grab more and then more, more, more. And then there you go. And that's what, you know, the slide towards that can be. But, you know, of course, there's the ill effects of going the other direction as well. We got problems everywhere.
Yeah, and now I think also, Sarah, I think the reason why this election is so different than in the past is because people are saying, you know, the people in power have really messed everything up. The privileged people are getting more than we're getting, and we don't have what our parents had after World War II or our grandparents. We don't have that kind of life. We don't have the American dream. We don't have basically what our legacy. It's been taken away from us, and we have that right. And I think that now we've got, instead of Sanders saying, you know, the old argument between less government and more government, Sanders is on the more government side, right? But they're throwing labels out, so people are using those negative connotations in their mind when they hear those things, like Sarah said. Exactly.
Let's go to a break with a clip from Patty Greer's wonderful song, May Peace Prevail on Earth.
May peace prevail on earth, and let the children sing. May peace be in our homes, a love that's very true. It all starts with me and you.
My company, New Galaxy Enterprises, is a California corporation specializing in the creation of media and promotional content. We are focused on original, innovative projects that are good for humanity. These projects could be nonfiction books or novels, fictional screenplays or documentary content, websites and website content, commercial advertising content for print, audio, or video products on the internet, television, or radio, musical scores for advertising, television, or film, video, audio editing, etc. We want to promote products and projects that support the environment, encourage a healthy experience in living, developing, nurturing, and useful technology, and offering platforms for positive, socially constructive entertainment or informative, transformative media. Our experience in creating a variety of products like this is rather vast, and we offer client-based and collaborative products, as well as the opportunity of active investors to join us in the creation and promotion of proprietary products, some of which are in latter stages of development. For more information, go to www.newgalaxyenterprises.com. That's www.newgalaxyenterprises.com. If you're interested in talking to us, just fill out the contact sheet and we will get back with you.
Boots in Manhattan is a coming-of-age novel by Ray Boylan and Johnny Bluestar. It is about a young Tom Boots Raymond who grows up in New York in the 1940s, who is a member of a street gang.
My friends and I were about to start our own game of stickball when Rabbit Lacey, the head of the Rattlers, came up to us and tried to move in on our game. We were called dwarves, the youngest members of this stupid gang.
Hey, Kevin, I need you to get some gloves and some stuff I left at my place.
No, this is our game.
Hey, are you my good little dwarf or what?
You've been calling me a dwarf since I was six. We're not your personal slaves, pal.
Hey, what is this? A dwarf rebellion? All right, big guy, we ditched the dwarf thing. We make you guys regular rattlers.
No, it's too late.
He looked at Jay and me. We looked away. Rabbit was now angry, and he pushed Kevin hard with the palms of his hand. Kevin tried to ram him in the stomach, but he stepped aside, throwing Kevin into the curb where he fell to the ground, bleeding profusely at the knee. Still, he managed to get up.
My street.
Kevin shouted at Rabbit, pointing at him with an angry index finger.
Find out more by Googling Boots in Manhattan, a 1940s coming-of-age novel, part one of the novel series The Foot Soldier by Ray Boylan and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Boots in Manhattan, Ray Johnny Kindle. That's Boots in Manhattan, Ray Johnny Kindle.
Back to our discussion of socialism versus capitalism. The question is, what is the proper blend between socialism and capitalism? Should high taxes turn us away from providing a society like Denmark, where entrepreneurship is alive amidst free college education, free health care? It is one of the lowest rates of wealth inequality in the developed countries. And yeah, it has free college, health care, and subsidized child care. And yes, they pay more taxes. The Danish pay as much as 56% as their top rate, where our top rate is around 39.6.
Yeah, but what's Johnny, so bad don't about- you think we're don't you think we're being taxed to death too? I mean, and we're not getting out anything from it.
Yeah.
As far as,
well,
you could,
if we could analyze what we're paying in our education and what we're paying in our health care and add that to our tax base, are we paying more than the Danish are at their top rate? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that's a good analysis to do.
And then you can say, okay, you know, are we really? But see, we have. The problem is that our 39%, even if you subtract out the education and the healthcare, which, I mean, in order to stabilize apples to apples, you have to do that, right? You have to add back in what we pay for education and healthcare. But the problem is a substantial amount of our budget is on waste and fraud and BS and things that.
And military spending and
yes,
things like that.
Military out of control, right? We have a base of like 20% on the military, but then of the other 40% of our budget, 45%, something like that, a substantial amount of that is still military built into other aspects of the budget that's not obvious to people.
Maybe the people who get the military benefits should be paying for this military instead of the taxpayers.
Well, let's be smart about it. And that's where I like the idea. I know people don't like Trump, but I like the idea somebody that can come in with more of a business mindset and say, okay, what are our goals? What are we, you know, who are we trying to serve? And let's start cutting this thing apart and making it work. And that's the problem I have. And people are afraid of business people because, again, business people have a connotation of being greedy people that only care about making money, right? But you need a mindset of these are the things that we're trying to get accomplished and laser focus of getting it done, because I think we could cut the budget by 30% and be really healthy.
Well, I want to look at this from a little different standpoint, particularly, you know, since, Sarah, you're so involved with disruptive paradigms. The problem that I see is that the education that we're getting, and that's probably provided in Denmark too, and the health care, possibly in at least many of these European countries, it is totally inadequate. Like, Ken, we've talked a lot about this since our program on genetic engineering and your book, The Voluntary Spy, and in other programs, we've discussed the dangers of the medical pharmaceutical complex. Now, that is definitely a place where a lot of money is spent. Yes, maybe we're paying too much for some of these pharmaceuticals, and it's cheaper in Canada. But the problem is that a lot of, across the board, a lot of these pharmaceuticals are not really very good for us. They're just covering up some of the problems and disastrous health conditions that we have because of the food that we eat. Do you agree?
Yes, it's true. I agree.
If we change the whole paradigm of research and of medicine and food and all those things, aren't we going to save a heck of a lot of money?
Well, we would. I mean, but the oversight system is there. I mean, it's there. It's the problem is that the people who are in the oversight agencies, like the USDA, the EPA, and the FDA, who are supposed to keep our environment and our food and our drugs safe, are not actually doing that. They're working for the chemical companies. They're coming from the chemical companies.
And that's the problem when the government gets to the point where they're working for the companies instead of the people. And that's the fear. I mean, we're turning into a fascist sort of, you know, society. And that's the fear. I mean, any form of government can work if you don't do stuff like that. You can't be a fascist system where you are serving the needs of a corporation making a profit versus the needs of the people. You have to be very clear of who you're serving and what you're trying to get accomplished. And when the government gets bloated and it's serving the wrong purpose and the power figures go in the wrong direction, you get what we get now.
But they wave the flag and pretend they're going in the right direction. That's the thing. Well, that's the deceit.
But that's so, what happens in every election and every party.
Oh, yeah.
That's, you know.
Well, you see, my problem here is the financial thing, is that the financial thing, whether we go Bernie's way or we go with these lines around the different states, which lets everybody compete, which is supposed to solve the problem, but will leave probably millions of people uninsured. It doesn't matter because it's not just a financial problem. But let's listen to how Trump and Rubio argue about this for a minute.
You may not be aware of this, Donald, because you don't follow this stuff very closely, but here's what happened. When they passed Obamacare, they put a bailout fund in Obamacare. All these lobbyists to keep talking about, they put a bailout fund in the law that would allow public money to be used, taxpayer money, to bail out companies when they lost money. And we led the effort and wiped out that bailout fund. The insurance companies are not in favor of me. They hate that. They're suing now to get that bailout money put back in. Here's what you didn't hear in that answer. And this is important, guys. This is an important thing. What is your plan? I understand the lines around the state, whatever that means. This is not a game where you draw maps
and you
around.
You don't know what it means.
What is your plan?
That's the problem.
What is your plan on health care? You don't have a plan.
Problem. The biggest
what
problem
is,
he doesn't
I'll give
know.
One minute
the biggest problem he's
plan.
Got is he
What's
doesn't know. You know, I watched him melt down 2 weeks ago with Chris Christie. I got to tell you, the biggest problem he's got is he really doesn't know about the lines. The biggest thing we've got, and the reason we have no competition, is because we have lines around the state,
that,
and you have
that,
essentially
we already mentioned that as part of my plan.
Yeah,
I know what that is.
But what else
is part of your plan?
Much.
So your only thing is to get rid of the lines around the states. What else is part of your health care plan?
What the lines around the states mean.
That's your only plan.
And it was almost done. No, no. You
know what that does? I'll give him time to mind. He can tell us his plan.
Excuse me. That brings in competition. When you get rid of the lines, it brings in competition. So instead of having one insurance company taking care of New York or Texas, you'll have many. They'll compete, and it'll be a beautiful thing.
Right. And so that's the only part of the plan? Just the lines, the interstate competition?
The nice part about the plan, you have many different plans. You'll have competition. You'll have so many different plans.
But now he's repeating himself.
No, I'm not repeating. No. Repeat himself 5 times 4 weeks ago. And
I saw you repeat
you,
yourself five
it
times
was a
5 seconds ago.
I watched him melt down on the stage like
Trump,
I've never seen anybody.
Let's
he came out of the swimming pool.
I said, well,
let's talk about
your plan. I see him repeat himself every night. It says 5 things. Everyone's dumb.
Senator
He's going to make America great
Senator
again.
Rubio.
We're going to win, win, win.
Senator
He's
Rubio,
winning in
please.
The polls.
Please
and the
stop.
Lines around the state.
Rubio, you will have time to respond if you
right.
would just let Mr. Trump respond to what
yeah,
you just
gonna
posed
give us his
to
plan
him.
Plan now, right?
If you could talk a little bit more about your plan. I know you talked about the
we're
interstate.
We're going to have many different plans because there's going to be competition.
Said it again.
There's going to be competition. There is going to be competition among all of the states and the insurance companies. They're going to have many, many different plans.
Is there anything else you would like to add to that?
No,
as part of
there's
your plan?
Nothing to add. What's to add?
I just realized that they get their playbook from watching old Abbott and Costello films.
Oh. You know, I think they're both right. You know, Donald's articulating a basic principle of free market theory of, you know, if you lower barriers on competition, it makes products and services cheaper. But then Rubio's is saying, well, Donald, you can't even articulate your plan. And he's right. He can't.
Well, the problem is he's not going to be able to articulate it in a minute anyways. But,
no,
you know, it's not going to happen. And I'm not sure if Rubio really articulated anything either. But the, you know, free market is what people are trying to take, that we don't have that right now.
No,
and that's
we don't.
A big issue. And that's what he's trying to say is if we actually got these companies to compete there, if you look at how laser eye surgery, they've all been competing with each other. And it's amazing how much better, how much cheaper, how great the service has come, you know, for everyone, because it was a free market competitive type surgery. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's such a great thing to point to. But, you know, I like what Johnny was saying, okay, we can do free market and we really do need to go do free market. But then what do you do with the people that can't afford healthcare? So it almost like there needs to be almost a
hybrid.
A bucket, you know, for the people that get, you know, fall out of the system. But mm-hmm. you definitely need the free market going on. Otherwise, there's a race to the bottom.
Otherwise, it's going to be, I mean, it's going to be all the same thing we have now with the cronies coming in, with all the people in government getting the, you know, getting their favoritism. And it's not going to do anything to lower prices.
Yeah. And it's not even just prices. You have to let
quality.
You have to let somebody come in that has a good idea come in and get a chance, because the way it is right now, when it's a fascist system, only people that have a chance are the ones who are already in control and power. They have no incentive.
Right.
They have no incentive to get better. They have no incentive to lower prices. What about this person over here that has this great, you know, new form that that a lot of consumers would like? Give him a chance to compete and show it. If it doesn't work, then he won't be successful. And that's mm-hmm. the beauty of a free market. You know, I interview people. I interviewed a company that's on the Bahama Islands working with adult human stem cells that are regrowing muscle tissue and working with MS and getting people out of wheelchairs and doing this phenomenal work. I mean, they're taking people that couldn't walk, that practically paralyzed, and getting them out of wheelchairs. And it's illegal in this country because we have an FDA that's in bed with corporations.
Yeah.
And that, now if we had a free market open society, those people, that company, Okineos, is what it is, and you can listen to my show, they'd be competing freely in this country and people could be served. But the way it is now, it's a joke. And so free market's really important. However, how do you deal with the people that are falling out of the system? And that's kind of what we want, you know, need to talk about. But then there's that concern that if you take care of all the people that follow the system, then there's the, you know, the attitude that people will, if you're just going to give out handouts anyways, then people would rather just take a handout than to work hard. So you got to figure out that's problem. But like Jesus said, I don't know if you're religious, but he's right here. There's always going to be the poor and the needy and the people that need our help. And so you have to figure out how to take care of some of those people.
Here's a clip of the great Patricia Welch with a song featured in her 3-set CD album, Great Entertainment, Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia.
Get when you fall in love, a guy with a pin to burst your bubble. That's what you get for all your trouble. I'll never fall in love again. I'll never fall in love again. What do you get when you kiss a guy? You get enough germs to catch pneumonia. After you do, never phone ya. I'll never fall in love again. Don't you know that I'll never fall in love again? Don't tell me what it's all about, 'cause I've been there and I'm glad I'm out. Out of those chains that bind you. That is why I'm here to remind you. What do you get when you fall in love? You only get lies and pain and sorrow. So for at least until tomorrow, I'll never fall in love again. No, no, I'll never fall in love again.
This is Johnny Blue Star. I've worked as a lyricist with Patricia Welsh for over 5 years, along with Russian composer Edgar Ahrens, a friend and colleague. Her ability as a singer is simply amazing. She brings a unique and dramatic flair to every song she sings. Over the next few months, we shall be releasing a number of these songs, part of an album called Hadley's Castle. Meanwhile, Patricia has been busy creating a super enjoyable collection of classic standards in an exciting 46-song, 3-CD collection.
Music for Great Entertaining introduces Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia Welsh. 3 hours of continuous music. 46 of the all-time classic standards, spanning decades of hit songs. Going to a friend's home for dinner? Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia also makes the perfect hostess gift. This 3-CD compilation is the perfect background music that sets just the right mood for any dinner party.
I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. There was a boy, a very strange, enchanted boy.
To purchase this album, just go to patriciawelch.com/CD. That is patriciawelch.com/CD. You won't be disappointed. Nowadays, if you are a serious business person, just getting assistance from someone with a license and a bit of experience may not be sufficient. In fact, your realtor actually needs to be knowledgeable enough to be one of your top advisors. Whether you are facilitating a giant merger or selling your company, there's a lot at stake besides your finances. There is the future value of your current investment, financial freedom, integrity, and overall reputation. If you need this kind of assistance, Sandra LaFlamme is a real estate expert with the experience, reputation, and knowledge qualified to assist you in all your key transactions. Sandra LaFlamme, real estate services with integrity and conscience. Contact her today at 888-366-8070. That's Sandra LaFlamme at 888-366-8070.
We're back on Threshold Radio discussing the paradigm of healthcare in America with Ken Ead and Sarah Westall. Let's hear a little bit about how Sanders and Clinton approached the subject.
Let's just replay clip 32, Jim, first of all, to set this up for somebody who might have just tuned in, so they might not know what we're talking about. Senator Sanders has proposed as a healthcare plan that basically we just take Obamacare and set it aside and say anybody in America can buy into Medicare, period. You know, you can keep the Affordable Care Act. You can keep your health insurance if you want, but everybody can buy into Medicare. You've got Medicare for everybody in the United States, and pretty much everybody's going to do that because it's going to cost 20% less than the health insurance right now. But actually, I'm misstating that because I said anybody can buy into Medicare. What he's saying is that Medicare is provided for free out of our tax dollars. So, in other words, everybody's taxes go up by the amount that it would cost you to buy into Medicare, which is 20 to 30% less than what you're paying right now for health insurance. So, here's Hillary attacking Bernie's plan. This is clip 32.
I have looked at his proposed plans for healthcare, for example, and it really does transfer every bit of our healthcare system, including private healthcare, to the states to have the states run. And I think we've got to be really thoughtful about how we're going to afford what we propose.
And here's the clip 33. This is Senator Sanders responding.
The United States per capita pays far and away more than any other country. And it is unfair simply to say how much more the program will cost without making sure that people know we are doing away with the cost of private insurance and that the middle class will be paying substantially less for health care under single payer than under Secretary Clinton's proposal.
Well, I'd like to say a few things. I believe that the American people who have been accustomed to various options outside of the single-payer system do not realize how completely steeped in fear they are, because they have only sound bites to think about when they hear about some other health systems, like in Scandinavia, but also in France and Germany, and even Cuba, as Michael Moore reports in his comic tragedy documentary about healthcare called Sicko. One of the problems is that our health system is deeply flawed because of the infusion of destructive technology into our food supply, our medical practices, and their application. So dealing with modern medicine without some kind of self-acquired knowledge of alternative medicine can be very dangerous. In fact, I nearly died because of an asthmatic condition that was cured once I found out it was nutritionally based. I was told it was incurable by conventional medical doctors. Secondly, because of the system we live in, without medical insurance, any serious illness can drive even fairly prosperous people into bankruptcy. Thirdly, when people are approaching death, if not properly protected, the medical establishment swoops in and scoops up all the financial marbles it can from the dying patient who can now not pass on his good fortune to his family. Our current system fills Americans with a sense of dread and fear, and mostly they know nothing about alternatives. How can we get them to think about this, to be open to alternatives? I do like Bernie Sanders, and I like his ideas in a lot of ways. As long as there's an option for people to buy extra insurance for themselves, I'm okay with a universal medical. But what is it? It's extremely dangerous.
I think you made a good point about the system itself, the way it's set up now is we medicate symptoms to solve health problems once the symptoms arrive. But the focus should really be on proper nutrition and exercise and lifestyle to prevent those symptoms from, occurring in the first place.
Well, what do you do? Because, my sister's a doctor and we've had many conversations about this. And she's like, Sarah, I don't have a choice. 75, maybe 70%, but a large majority of the people just want some kind of pill or something to take care of their problems. If I sit and lecture them on nutrition, which is what they need, they just won't come back. And so I do what I can, but essentially the majority of the people don't want to hear it. They don't want to do preventative care. I mean, I don't know. I think there's a small, it's maybe 30, 25% of the people that are like us that are thinking, how do I, eat right, nutrition, and trying to figure these things out. And I think the mass population isn't in that boat. I don't think
they want to take a pill.
I don't think they're even thinking about it.
I think there are several things that democratic socialism does, and one of them has to do with education, where I have the same problem. The kind of education that I see, and I believe is spread out throughout the world, is not genuinely the best kind of education. It's not, and as we discussed, remember a long time ago, Ken, we discussed interactive education. Well, I never heard one word about alternative approach to nutrition when I went to school. I went to three different colleges, one for 3.5 years and the others for a few years. And no one ever talked about it in high school or elementary school. Of course, there was much more known about it. It's a little bit more public now that there's a complementary alternative medicine and nutrition. But it's still... the only way you can really deal with this is you have to totally counteract the sort of advertising that exists for food products. You walk into a supermarket, and what can you do? You cannot go anywhere in a supermarket without 90% of this food being doctored, more than 90%, I would say.
Well, and the less expensive stuff is the worst stuff. You have to
That's
pay
the worst.
More. Yeah, you have to
you
pay
have to...
more for better
mm-hmm.
food.
Yes, and particularly, and it's very important to have organic food. And,
but
they
it's
just,
more expensive.
But it's,
well,
it's sometimes
more expensive. And
there's less of demand for it.
Well, there's multiple problems with organic food, and that is that we don't have the resources. I mean, we don't have the land to do everything organically. I mean, well, there's some bigger issues there, because I've done some research on that. And, I try to eat organic as much as possible as well. But if you really wanted to implement that across our whole, country, we just don't have the resources to actually do that anymore.
Well,
there's some issues.
Maybe I see your point, but I also think that there may be some ways of rejuvenating the soil.
I think the whole industrial chemical agricultural system is completely corrupt and poisons the entire food supply. That's my take on it.
Well, and, you know,
I think that's true.
If we were just open and transparent about the issues, maybe there's some other, you know, how do you pronounce that?
Hydroponic.
Yeah, I don't know why you can't pronounce that. But I mean, if there's other, if we were transparent about it and we start talking about what are some technology innovations that we can come up with to really take care of our issues. You know, I know there's really smart people working on these things and they have come up with innovations and things, but they don't want to have the funding and they, you know, it's all private and small.
And they don't have the voice.
See, this is my big point here. In all the stuff talking about these campaigns and these different issues, we need a gigantically new comprehensive paradigm of a society, of a just and well-working society. You cannot talk about pharmaceuticals without talking about food. You can't talk about food and pharmaceuticals without talking about medicine.
Yeah, but yet we do, Johnny. Yet we do.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, that's the issue.
Yeah. I mean, that is the issue.
So, that is one of the issues. one of the main issues.
So what I'm saying is that,
and you know, when what Bernie says about, you know, getting providing free education, I mean, that's a great start, but what's the curriculum going to be? You know, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about getting the issues out in the open and getting the information out there so people can actually know what's going on.
I mean, to be honest, almost everything that has been valuable for me that I've learned and has been out of school. It's been I used to go to high school and I basically would walk into the class with my own books and I would ignore them. I was told I could quit high school by my college admissions officer, and my parents.
I went in to quit, and they sent me down the street to the junior college and kept me on the payroll.
That's funny.
It was.
So I dropped out from the advanced curriculum to the lower curriculum, so I could just have some peace, so I could read while they were talking about other things.
Good for you.
Yeah, but the thing is, we don't have a system. We have all kinds of things that are wrong, and if we did the kind of health prioritization we were talking about and the kind of education that we're talking about we could be using computers. Everybody could get a university, you know, some kind of a degree and have real good stuff without, you know, having to go to these schools and stay in class all the time. There could be some interactive stuff with the class, but a lot of it could be done on computers and it wouldn't cost hardly anything.
Oh, we are on the verge of a complete changeover of everything. And that's we have the tools we have. And that's part of the issue, too, is there's so much change going on and there's so much. I mean, I see it as a new renaissance, actually. I think there's so much we can do. And there's so
many
potential, cool
things. I think. It's a potential for great things, but I mean, look at what happened with television. It was the same, people were saying the same thing about television, and they were right. I mean, that was the biggest potential education tool ever, and look what happened. And now
it is an education tool.
And now we've got the internet where people are basically getting most of their information now, and it's being abused, and people are playing video games instead of learning. They're getting addicted to their iPhones, and you know, there's a whole set of problems that comes with this great technology that should be helping us do all these great things.
Here's a clip from my great friend from UK, Stephanie Slevin, in I Talk with Angels.
I talk to angels. And they speak to me. They show me things that I don't usually see. Well, 'cause somewhere in heaven, God looks down with love, showing off mankind. But we just push and shove one another to the ground, making unholy sound. But if you want to talk to angels, you gotta spread your heart around every town. I saw an angel at the end of my bed. He looked at me, but not a word was said. Well, 'cause somewhere in heaven, God believed in me, as he does us all. Just awaits us to see he is there, everywhere, all around, every town. Yes, I talk to angels, and they speak to me. They lead me places. They want me to be. Well, 'cause somewhere in heaven, God looks down with love, showing us mankind. But we just push and shove one another to the ground, making unholy sound. But if you want to talk to angels, you gotta spread your heart around every town, every town.
New Galaxy Enterprises is a media company specializing in wide-ranging content like novels, nonfiction books, screenplays, commercial advertising, web content, etc. One of our most esteemed providers is illustrator Robert W. Zalo. I work on all my most important projects, like book covers, logos, web design elements, with Robert. As an illustrator, he worked on the Ignatz-nominated comic book, The Expert's Guide to Killing Things That Go Bump in the Night. His skills encompass advertising, magazine illustrations, gaming, comic books, TV production, and scenic painting. His clients include Comcast, Adelphia, Haven Talent, Forceworks, High Octane Theater, Star Creative Advertising. If you wish to contact Robert, go to johnnybluestar.com and let me know. That's johnnybluestar.com for artist illustrator Robert Zalo, an essential component of all the work we do. Maybe he can help you too.
It is the 15th century. El Tesoro de Cielo, a Spanish treasure ship, sends a scouting expedition to a strange island. Golden statues surrounding them prove the enormity of their find. Suddenly, hordes of ghoulish creatures with scaly green flesh and skeletal wings descend upon them from the sky.
What do you think of this, Rufio?
These creatures are fragile, Captain. We could take them with our swords.
They seem supernatural. Who knows what powers they possess?
Fallen angels, weakened by their treason.
By God, are you saying they're Nephilim, the devil's host?
I'm saying whatever they are, we can take them. Do any of you cowards dare join me?
Up against sharp knife-like nails and hideous fangs, the men's swords rip into slimy green flesh. Though black blood pours copiously from their half-naked bodies, creatures miraculously persist. Can the crew survive this bloody, cursed battle?
Find out more by Googling The Thrice Born, a new sci-fi supernatural novel by Carlos Lopez Avery and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born. That's Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born.
Well, but how do you deal with the masses not wanting to do it? I mean, I don't know how you deal with that.
You have to deal with it through
to my sister, you know, where she can't solve their medical problems because they don't care.
I need people like her educating, and you got to make education entertaining or no one's going to sit through it. I mean, that's the whole basis of my books. I mean, people sometimes will say, well, they get through the book and they're like, well, this guy's trying to lecture to me. You know, well, yeah, I'm a political novelist. Of course I'm trying to lecture to you. I have a point. You know, to this story that's going to entertain you, and the guy's going to shoot everybody. In the end, you're going to learn something.
You're addressing their emotions, their conscience, as well as their sort of intellectual faculties.
But it's so hard for a doctor. You know, they're essentially a McDonald's drive-through now with all these clinics. They have to get through. You know, my sister consciously takes in a lot less patients than up to like half the patients of some of the other doctors because she just refuses to be a complete McDonald's drive-through. But she still is, right?
Yeah, she doesn't want to be a drug pusher, right?
Yeah, I mean, she just doesn't want. She's like, I gotta serve people better than this. I can't have 6 minutes per person. That's ridiculous. You know what I mean? I want my 12. You know, which is still ridiculous. So, you know, but you know, kudos to her for trying to do something, you know, ethical. And even what she's doing that's ethical still isn't good enough in a lot of cases. But the problem is that's what they're expected to do in order for them to make a living. And then, you know, and then they have to actually solve this person's health problem. But then they're needing to educate them in a, you know, in an entertaining way. It's just not. I don't. There's a certain point where people need to take responsibility for themselves.
Can't she juggle while she's listening to their heart and lungs?
They have to take responsibility for themselves at some point. You have to say, okay, if you aren't going to take responsibility for yourself, and we'll supply these certain amount of things for you and give you the tools that if you take, then those people get left in the dust at a certain point because they have the means to do it themselves. And I don't know if everybody else owes it to them. Now, we do owe it to people that can't take care of themselves. I think that's an ethical requirement. You know, like Jesus says, where there's always going to be the people you need to take care of. But the people that can take care of themselves, I'm sorry, but we need to move on. We have our resources that need to be used in other ways.
Well, yeah. I think that, you know, this whole conversation, returning to the candidates, is that I want to say, just like the health situation and the way these candidates are talking about it, if they talk about immigration, health care, policies about war, the safeguarding of our civil rights, military intervention, regime change, interrogation, handling of prisoners, protecting our borders, regrowing our economy, all these different things that they're talking about, to me, a lot of them are extremely limited and are extremely flawed in one way or another. It leaves, you know, like, how are we going to fix owing $18 trillion? I think I've heard only one question. I think I heard one question. I'm not even sure if that was my fantasy about surveillance in this whole, you know, debate situation. They're not even talking about it. Rand Paul might have talked about it, but he didn't.
He's out,
but he didn't talk about when he was there. He wasn't talking about the things that he was really seemed to be critically concerned about, I guess because he was trying to appeal to a more of a mass audience. I don't know his reason. But the point is that...
I think Donald kind of set the stage for what was, you know, what was going to be talked about on the Republican side.
So what I'm saying is we really do need new paradigms, new ways of looking at things. We need to think these things out differently than these candidates are because they're not really thinking them out. And then there's problems about the way they're presenting whatever good thoughts they have because they've got 1.5 minutes to present them in the debates at least.
Right.
But
the good thing is that there is this interest in what's going on, which we didn't really see before. It was kind of like we felt powerless. We felt powerless and our vote doesn't count. And now I think people think, well, maybe my vote will count. Maybe someone's listening to me. And I'm encouraged by that. I mean, I think it's a start. It's a start. What happens after this, I don't know.
If you like Threshold Radio, a program which deals with core issues affecting our personal, political, and spiritual lives, and advocates the creation of an enlightened, informed citizenry, not only in America, but throughout the world, then you might think of supporting both your product and business and our message by advertising on our show. All programs are archived and are supported in various ways, including social media, our outreach being broadcast weekly on VegasAllNetRadio.com, a very advanced internet broadcasting station, but also archived directly on our websites on YouTube and in SoundCloud. We believe in time we will have a very broad outreach. Through New Galaxy Enterprises, our parent company, we can create a wide range of marketing and advertising components to complement your advertising on Threshold Radio and increase your outreach in many creative and exciting ways. If interested, just go to www.thresholdradio.com and fill out a contact form with your interest. That's www.thresholdradio.com.
Join us in a few minutes for our continuing discussion of the 2015-2016 presidential primary campaigns. We go out with Patricia Welch's rendition of Evergreen.
Like a rose
snow.